Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it is a fun-filled Monday morning. We are here to dropkick your work week into submission.
Oh, yeah. Which, for most people, this week, your work week's going to be a short one.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, I got we got the fantastic Thanksgiving coming up.
Oh, dude. That's my second favorite holiday.
It's a good one because there's lots and lots and lots of awesome food.
Snacks.
I'll actually be smoking a turkey this year for the family.
Oh, sounds delicious.
It does sound delicious. My wife's going to make some stuffing. I'm excited.
Delicious.
I love food.
It's going to be great. That being said, I hope everybody has a fabulous Thanksgiving and eats themselves into a food coma and gets to hang out with good company.
For sure.
So, check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. We'll be there. Come and hang out. Join the cult. You know the deal. It is what it is. Today, I'm going to dive into the black dog phenomenon. We heard a speaker speak on it at the Van Meter Visitor Festival last year. I cannot remember the guy's name for the life of me, and I am beating myself up over it.
Yeah.
But it was a great, great talk.
It was far more impressive than I anticipated.
It was so good. Yeah, I dove into this and started going off, and there's so much information. There's so much information. It's almost like whatever this phenomenon is, every town in Europe has its own, not Europe, but the UK, Britain, whatever. Someone's going to yell at me, probably Helen, sorry. Encounter with these beasts. But before we get into that, check us out. Did I already do that? Yeah, I did.
I don't know.
Yeah, just check us out. If you got a listener encounter you'd like to share on our listener encounter show, which is Thursdays, by the way, also check us out Tuesdays where our audio for the night shift drops. Check us out Wednesdays where we do our live night shift. And then Thursdays, we'll do listener encounter. If you'd like to submit that, this is the information you're going to need.
It is all going to be in the show notes, but I will tell you that you can write your story out. You can record yourself, shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can call or text the holophone, which is the same phone that we use for the night shift, and that's going to be 618-556-0837. We have a P.O. Box, P.O. Box 145, Fielden, Illinois, 62031. You can send us weird shit, cool shit, any shit you want. Not actual shit, though. Please don't do that.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I take the fun out of it. I apologize for that, but I don't think the mail carriers are going to enjoy that.
No. No.
Not to mention, it's fucking disgusting. Don't do that.
Yeah, we don't need any of that going on.
No. No, 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 no. But yeah, get us your encounters. We'll talk about them. We'll share them with the rest of the world, and people can weigh in on them. And it's things that everybody wants to hear. We want to hear what's going on out there. Because there's so many good ones that get locked away because people don't want to talk about them. That's why it's also important that you share our show so it gets bigger and we can start collecting more and more and more amazing submissions from you guys.
And cult members.
That too.
If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways to do it. We have a Patreon. You know how that works. If you like extra stuff, go check that out. There's a bunch of different tiers. We have merch at hollowskypodcast.com. You can go over there and get you some dope swag, as all the kids are saying. Maybe. I don't know. We got a Venmo. You can throw some pocket change in. The best thing you can do is share the show word of mouth. Keep it kicking. Keep it going. Keep the cult just exponentially blowing up, which is what we need you to do. Boots on the ground, squatch call.
Yeah. And we can go out, get out there and roundhouse some big feats.
Yes. Yes.
You can also. JC Van Damme style. Thank Steve God. Can do that for sure. I've seen him.
You don't want to catch a roundhouse from me.
I saw him roundhouse a 6-foot privacy fence and destroy it. I seen it.
Well, yeah.
It's real. It happened.
If Kyle says it's real, it happened.
That's what I'm saying.
You can also go to wherever you catch, wherever your podcast catcher is.
I fucked him up.
Damn, I'm thinking about roundhouse and stuff and how bad my back would hurt after doing that.
Perfect.
You can leave us a 5-star rating and review, and I will shout you out. Will I ever?
I just had the best idea ever. What if you did the JC Van Damme splits between two Sam Squanches? They were holding your feet.
That sounds like my back would also hurt.
That right there, new Hollow Sky commercial.
Mm. Yeah. Who am I going to get to play my stunt double?
You.
Copy that.
You have to do it.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome.
It doesn't sound like it. But go to your podcatcher and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and we'll shout you out when I find it. So, this one is aptly titled, You Found It. It's from our friend, But What Do I Know? 5 stars. In the world, But What Do I Know says, You found it. 5 stars. In the world of never-ending paranormal podcasts where mediocre and or AI-fabricated tales are the norm, there's a bright and shining light that is Hollow Sky. Always incredibly entertaining and deeply informative, there's nothing but genuine information coming from these guys. Thanks for what you do, boys. Keep it up. But what do I know?
I feel that.
I appreciate you, as does Kyle.
I just feel the name.
Yeah, we don't know shit. That being said, we do appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking the time to leave us a little bit of love over there at Apple. Yeah, it does help us out. I know it sounds trivial, and I preach on it all the time, but it does actually put us up in recommendations whenever we get some 5 stars. So we love each and every one of you that show us love back, and we probably will still hang out with those of you that don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for that Patriot dude. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, and there's a couple of them that stand out, but yeah, you know. You can't win them all.
No, but we're going to dive right into my show today. I've been looking into this black dog phenomenon. After we visited Van Meter last year and heard that, it kind of piqued both of our interests. So I thought I'd start gathering some information, and there is a lot of it, like I said. But to kick it off, the black dog phenomenon is kind of this spectral or supernatural presence that I guess kind of started in English folklore, but it has slowly integrated itself all the way throughout the culture up until now. I know that it is often kind of tied into like a demonic hellhound kind of sighting, where the dogs are usually black, hence the name. They're usually
that's clever.
Yeah, usually unnaturally large and have fiery red or orange or yellow eyes, right?
Man, angry dogs are bad enough, let alone a spectral fire dog.
Yes,
it sucks.
Throughout the lore, they're often connected with the devil.
Great.
And they're also sometimes seen as an omen of death. So if you see the black dog,
definitely roundhouse it.
Roundhouse it. And Satan, because he's death not far behind. There are tales that there are so many different variations of this lore and this creature. Some of them are associated with lightning storms. Some of them are associated with like crossroads, like the devil's crossroads.
I haven't heard of the lightning storm stuff.
Yeah. Some of them are associated with places of I guess, trauma and executions and like where bad shit happens. Some of them are said to even protect ancient pathways, even ones that are long forgotten.
And in the speech from Van Meter, he brought up the black dogs from cemeteries as well.
Yes, yes. They get into that. And there's a specific specific one that they talk about. I think I've got it in here kind of further
down.
They
have a name, don't they? The cemetery ones? Yeah. I can't remember what it was.
I want to think it's like, I think they call it the Church Grim or something of that nature. But we'll go through there. I got a lot of them. Just I pulled a bunch of information on a bunch of different these. I figured we'd go through them. There's a few encounters that I pulled up, but there's a lot more of those. I could do a whole nother episode on just encounters with these things. But I figured I'd just put out information on them a little bit this round. They're usually regarded, again, as being tied to hell or Satan. So they are often seen as malevolent or sinister. But there are a few that are said to be helpful as opposed to not so helpful.
I hope there's some like visual cues that help you along in the difference of those, because if not, I think I'm going to run from either one then.
Yeah, there are a couple. One is called the Barghest and one is called the Shook, which I'll get into, that are said to be directly harmful to humans.
Oh, great.
If you see them and you come into contact with them, it's not going to be a fun time. But there are some that are said to be benevolent, almost like guardians. There's one called the Gert Dog in Somerset, and it is said to guide travelers at night who are in fear of being lost and said to protect them from danger. So a guardian of travelers.
Shout out to those spirits.
Yeah. The origins is kind of hard to nail down, but a lot of people since they're associated with death and passing and the afterworld, they said that they kind of come from these old folklores of guardians of the underworld, such as Cerberus and Garmar. So it's kind of almost like they've pulled it from this and it's kind of became its own thing. These black dogs are reported in almost all of the countries, all the counties in England. There's a few that are not, but I might just have missed them. Some of the more well-known is the Barghest of Yorkshire and the Black Shuck of East Anglia. Other names for these creatures, there are a lot. Hairy Jack, Padfoot, Churchyard Beast, Capplewaith, the Hateful Thing, Swooning Shadow.
That more sounds like slanders. names.
The Bogey Beast and the Churchyard Grim. The first known example that I found I was reading this book. I can't remember the name. I think it was called Alien Animals or something like that. I can't remember. But the first known example of a sighting is from a French manuscript. I'm going to mess this up. Annalis Phrenorum Regnum.
Heck yeah.
Which was written in 856.
That's a long time ago.
As an old dog.
That's old.
Where the chronicler recorded what happened after a church service. They said that there was a church service going on, and out of nowhere, this dark cloud just completely enveloped the entire congregation. From this dark cloud, a large black dog with glowing red eyes appeared. It dashed about the church service as if it were searching for something and then disappeared. That was the first.
That's weird.
Yeah, almost like it was, I don't know. It's hard to take in like in a religious context as to what it would be doing at a church service. You know what I mean? If it's associated with Satan, was it like trying to sniff out people that weren't supposed to be there? I don't know. Another old one is from August 4th, 1577, in 10 miles north 10 miles from Norwich, England, a black dog showed up inside a church during a violent electrical storm, ran through the aisles, killed two worshipers, and injured another, burning him severely.
Damn.
Weird, right?
That's extreme.
It's weird. The same day, a similar attack occurred inside a church in Bilbury. Is it Bilbury? Yeah, maybe. 7 miles away, wrote one at Abram Fleming in a book called Strange Wonder in Bongay. Published not long afterwards. Fleming claimed to have been inside the church when the apparition went on its rampage and recounted it in that book. Here are some more kind of folklore ties to these things. In Dartmoor in Devon, a squire known as Richard Cabell was said to have been a huntsman who had sold his soul to the devil. When he died in 1677, black hounds were said to have appeared around his burial chamber. The ghostly huntman is said to ride with these black dogs. This specific tale is said to have inspired Arthur Conan Doyle's story, The Hounds of Baskerville. So this is also old. Like, this lore of these hellhounds have
deep roots. It's kind of a gangster story. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, not so much in the context of, like, being helpful or anything, but it is a scary story. This crazy ass that wants to go hunting, and he's like, wow, look at all these crazy devil dogs that I have that are going to help me annihilate everything. It's just... I hope that he had a good reason to sell his soul. Hopefully it wasn't just, like... hunt forever or something.
I mean, you get a gaggle of fire breathing hell dogs.
I mean, but is it really that good of a deal? You know, I mean, because, like, yeah, sometimes I mean, I love dogs, but sometimes they suck.
Yeah, especially when they set you on fire.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
And I apologize if I pronounce all these English town names wrong.
Well, it's because we're American, and we're not very literate.
You have hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, see.
In Lancashire, the black hound has several different names called the Bargeist, the Grim, the Guy Trash, the Padfoot, the Shag, the Skriker, the Striker, or the Trash, or Trashfoot. The reason they call him Trashfoot.
Once again, slander.
The reason I found this in another article is reading, the reason they call it Trashfoot is that you don't actually see the entity, but you hear it. And it says that it sounds like its feet are gigantic. And when as it's walking, it sounds like it's sloshing through the mud.
Okay, so explain the logic to me then.
Trashfoot.
What?
So go outside.
And
wrap your feet in trash bags.
Yeah, it didn't say.
And walk through the mud.
It didn't. Okay. Yeah, okay. I see it. I see it. Yeah, I do get it now. That's what I'm going to start calling people is trash foot.
Yeah. Because they said.
Shut up, old trash foot.
The entity's even, it's not even a visual encounter all the time. They said sometimes you just feel some of them, you just feel that are there. You feel this dread, and it's attributed to these black dog hellhound type entities. Other ones, they're just auditory encounters, like Trashfoot, for example, that you hear it walking alongside of you, but you'll never see it.
That's weird.
I don't exactly know how that got attributed.
It'd make me feel kind of cool to know that I have a massive hellhound.
What up, Trash?
Like, yeah. Yeah, you have to call him. You have to call him Trash or Dumpster or something. But, I mean, if he's just walking beside you, that it would be a weird situation to be in.
Yeah. Some others noted from Europe here. Galley Hill in Bedfordshire is said to have been haunted by a black dog ever since an electrical storm set the church alight in the town sometime in the 16th or 17th century.
There's a pretty common theme.
It is weird.
Right now with churches and lightning storms.
Yeah, I don't. Is there something in the lore of Cerberus that ties, or the underworld itself that ties electrical storms?
I don't know.
To I mean, anything at all? Betchworth Castle in Surrey is said to be haunted by a black dog that prowls the ruins at night. Black Dog Hill and Black Dog Halt Railway Station in Wiltshire are named after a dog that's said to prowl the areas as well. A black dog is said to haunt the Iveleth Bridge near Iveleth in Swaledale, Yorkshire. The dog is allegedly headless and leaps over the side of the bridge into the water, although it can be heard barking at night. It is considered an omen of death, and reports claim that anybody who has seen it has died within a year. The last sighting, however, was around 100 years ago.
You know what's crazy? Lightning storms and wolves. Because it made me think of Ragnarok, the Viking.
Oh, yeah.
Lore.
Yeah.
Because there's... okay, I'm not going to be able to say it correctly, but Fenrir,
yeah,
the monstrous wolf.
Yep. They actually said it, but they named it wrong. Or I'm not going to say they named it wrong. It's probably a different name, but it was like Grimrir.
Yeah.
Which is the Norse god, like protector of the underworld.
That's what it made me, every time you kept, because it makes me think of like Thor with the lightning and then the wolf and they're fighting the, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Very, is, very strange.
And it's also old lore.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It makes, it's almost like we talked about before, like the old gods are still around.
I think they are 100%. Still
fucking around. We're going to continue on a little bit here with some of these little one-offs. Black Dog in Hertfordshire haunts the town of Stevenage near Six Hills. Cannock Chase in Staffordshire has long since had rumors of a black dog. It is named the Hedsonford Hellhound or the Slitting Mill Bastard. They said these are two separate hellhound entities that kind of run up that place. Paranormal societies have investigated both of them on multiple occasions, especially deep into the 1970s, having witnessed and taking some evidence of the beasts. I'm assuming probably tracks and whatnot. Another black dog is said to haunt the main road between Bodmin and Longceston in Lincolnhorn. During the 1800s, a Cornish mining accident resulted in numerous deaths and led to the local area being haunted by a pack of black dogs with orange eyes. The parish of St. Teith is haunted by a ghostly pack of dogs known as the Chaney Hounds. They once belonged to an old squire named Chaney. It's uncertain how he or the dogs died, but on Chaney Downs, the dogs are sometimes seen or heard in rough weather or storms. From the Isle of Man, there's the tale of a guardian black dog that prevented the deaths of several men. A fishing boat was waiting in Peel Harbor for its skipper to command the crew on its night's fishing. They waited all night, but the skipper never came. In the early morning, a sudden storm sprang up, in which the boat might have been lost. When the skipper got back to his crew, he told them that his way had been blocked by a great black dog, and whichever way he turned, it always stood before him until he finally turned back around. Numerous black dog sightings in Gornsley. What else we have here?
It's weird how they, like you talk, you brought it up earlier, how these black dogs almost all have different demeanors and personalities alongside them, because there's like a batch of them that makes you feel like they're the underworld's debt collectors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you have this one where
it's like different factions.
Yeah. Like this one's not being like ultra nefarious. He's just basically saying you shall not pass. Yeah. You know, is that a good thing? Is he preventing something from happening, or is he being an asshole about it? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
There's a lot of different because just because he's blocking your way doesn't necessarily mean it's this ultra nefarious entity. It could be a good thing as well.
Yeah.
But that's a circumstance that you can't obviously figure out.
Because you don't know what would have happened if he would have passed. You know?
Right, yeah.
Nothing necessarily nefarious happened since the dog wouldn't let him pass. So you could almost assume that it was trying to help him out a little bit
you
there.
You would think.
The galley trot of northern England and Suffolk is notable for not being black, though it kind of fills all the other boxes of what we're dealing with here. It's described as a large white dog with a shadowy or indeterminate outline. It will chase anyone who runs away from it. The name...
Is there a reason why it will chase you?
Its name, Galley, is kind of derived from the word to frighten. So almost like it's trying to scare you away from whatever it's got going on in Suffolk and North England.
Interesting.
From there, we're going to go into some specific... actual like different types of these entities.
You know, another good point real quick does make sense because I remember a little bit from the Van Meter presentation, it would kind of make sense to a degree, and there is ancient lore, like burial lore, in connection with these dogs, but it would, I mean, think about it. What would you rather have as a protector of an ancient site? Would you rather have a poodle?
A hellhound.
Or a terrifying hellhound.
A hellhound.
That's what I mean. Like, it definitely makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're trying, because that, I mean, obviously is going to be extremely intimidating to see this big ass wolf essentially.
Oh yeah,
protecting this land. You're gonna go, I don't think I'm gonna go over there now. I'm gonna go this way because that thing's scary looking.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, I'm out.
100%.
Which by nature doesn't make it nefarious. It just appears nefarious.
Or it is nefarious.
Or it's just into metal.
Which it is.
Okay. 100%. Well, see, then that doesn't make it bad.
So we're going to dive into like the different types of these things, which are region specific, and kind of give a little bit of information about them.
Didn't Crypticon, what was it? Is it Ben? Is that who we saw? Yeah.
The guy talking about
footage?
Missouri.
Didn't he have footage about one of these big ass dogs over there that he went and investigated? Or am I thinking?
Think so. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he did. I think he had actual footage of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it was running through a field or something.
Yeah. Which one? I don't. Dude, now that I'm looking at all these, it's hard to even tell. But yeah, and it like that big ass dire wolf, well, for lack of a better term, dire wolf footage.
Yeah.
That is legit. It's 100% a legit biological creature, and this thing is monstrous.
Huge.
Could easily play in to the lore of these black dogs. So we'll dive into these. The first one is called a Barghest. It's said to roam the footpaths and side roads of York, preying on passerbys. It's also been seen near Clifford's Tower. To see the monstrous dog is said to be a warning of impending doom. So avoid the Barghest.
So when you're talking about ancient lore like that, sometimes, is it me? Or sometimes does it feel like these people...
Hey, Holocult. Did you know there's a difference between your chronological age and your biological age? Your chronological age is your birthday, and your biological age is how old your body really is. Biological age is the strongest predictor of disease risk and mortality. True Diagnostic gives you your biological age, health markers, plus a simple personalized 90-day plan after analyzing over 1 million data points. True Diagnostic offers a true age test, which is a test of longevity and aging. It measures biological age versus chronological age and your current pace of aging. Includes symphony age, tracking the health of 11 organ systems, your brain, heart, lungs, immune system, etc. gives you your top three aging actions you can take to slow or reverse aging. 86% of TrueAge users who follow the plan reduce their biological age. You can order online, and the kit ships right to your front door. Quick, simple finger prick at home, and then drop it in the prepaid return package. Your only job, follow the three recommendations for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over 1 million biomarkers, identifies the three most important actions you can take over 90 days to improve your health. Trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, Hollow Sky listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code HOLLOWSKY at checkout. That's truediagnostic.com and use code HOLOSKY for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. Hey, Hollow Cult. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off of your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off of your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Me and Kyle both can attest to having our information stolen online. Kyle just had to deal with it not too long ago, and at the very least, it is the utmost inconvenience having to reset everything, reset your bank account. It's just such a pain. But Aura is more than just the data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep your logins safe, a spam call protection to cut off scammers. Aura also scans the dark web for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, and passwords, and notifies you instantly if they are exposed. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days if you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details. Hey, Holocult. Did you know that there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flour for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code HOLO1. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. They have Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. They also have Morning Delta 9 gummies for an energizing, focused mental boost to start your day. Mind Magic gummies for focused, deep work and enhanced creativity. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a large selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered directly to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO1. So head to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code HOLO1 when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Be sure to try it today at mood.com.
Jump too quick to the impending doom.
I think, conclusion. Yes, A, yes, but I also think...
Not saying that there is an impending doom coming your way. I'm just saying that they were really, really quick on the trigger to be like, oh, if you've seen that, you're fucked.
Yeah. I think that they use it depending on when it was, there's a lot of bad shit going on all the time.
Oh, yeah, like naturally. You got the
Black Plague,
right.
You got war, and you got famine. And some of these may have started out like, oh, hey, this town over here running rampant with the Black Plague. Let's start a little bit of, stretch the truth a little bit that these hills that house these pathways to this town is running rampant with these giant hell dogs.
Yeah, I could see that.
To keep people from hanging out.
A little propaganda campaign.
And a lot of these kind of have little tidbits of why, like where the lore started from, which I think is interesting. Like a lot of them, some of the lore dates back to a specific person being like, say, executed wrong or sold their soul to the devil. And
that makes sense. I mean, I'm not discounting the fact that people are seeing these massive entities / creatures out there. I fully believe in that. I was just, you just hear it a lot in like old lore where they're like, if you see this,
it's bad.
Something fucked is going to happen to you in like the next lifetime.
It could be something completely the opposite. Say you're out and say you're, I don't know, you have something exceptionally wealthy on your property. What better way than to go into town and say, I have been seeing
this
monstrous, evil hellhound with Satan riding on its back. Say it's the 1500s. The devil was riding this thing. And it's swinging through my farm. 9 out of 10 people are
going
to be like,
I ain't going out there.
You're on your own. Sorry about you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I do just kind of like diving into the culture and like how these things went into. So the next one on this list, Wikipedia is wonderful, is where I'm pulling this information from. If you go there, they have links to all of this information. It is a rabbit hole to dive down. Like I said, there is a lot of it. I don't even know if I'll make it all the way through today. But the next one on the list is the Black Dog of Aylesbury. It's supposed start came from a man who lived near the village. Each morning he would go out to milk his cows. One night on his way in, he encountered a sinister black dog. Every night thereafter, until he brought a friend along with him. When the dog appeared again, he attacked it, using one of his milk pails as a weapon. But when he did so, the dog vanished, and the man just fell to the ground. He was carried home alive, but remained in a catatonic, paralytic state for the rest of his life.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. That's his own ignorance. He tried to fight
a dog, a hell dog with a bucket.
A hell dog with a bucket.
With a milk bucket.
Who does that? Ever?
He's got,
he's got some massive cojones on him.
Right where I was going.
But holy moly, that is a terrible idea.
Small brain, large balls.
And you know what else is I find weird about this? That they always refer to it as a dog.
Which I came up like...
Because I feel like wolf would be a far better, more accurate description. Yeah.
But it's weird because you have all this lore of the black dogs, especially in in the UK and in England and in Great Britain. But come up toward the 60s and 70s, it all flip-flops to the big cats.
Yeah, that is
the alien big cats of Europe. It's strange.
Well, there's a lot of rooted superstition around black cat too.
Yeah.
Just black cats in general.
Yeah.
Like if one crosses your path, oh, guess what? You're fucked.
I own a black cat.
Well, see, we're
shout out to Leroy Jenkins.
Well, that's bad omen, man. Yeah. That's bad omen.
If it weren't for bad omens, we wouldn't have any.
That's true.
But it is weird that, like, in the context of this black dog of Aylesbury, the damage it essentially would have done to the dog was put back on himself, like swinging at the dog with the bucket.
Yeah,
and then he ends up with
a good point.
Like a head injury. The black dog of Bully. This dog apparently comes with the presence of storms. It's described as a monstrous black hound with eyes, quote, the size of saucers, and in some versions, It has a giant chain that it drags behind it, the sound of which often warns the victims as to what's coming.
That's cool. I am, like, of all of them so far, I am super curious about the connection between these black dogs and storms.
It is, like...
That is so fascinating to me.
And that wasn't touched on at Van Meter.
No, it wasn't at all.
It said that this black dog of Bully has never said to do physical harm, and its appearance is always ahead of a massive storm. They say that it is off, like, its demeanor is to warn people of what's coming. So you hear this chain dragging through, and you see this thing, you know that there's going to be a shitty storm.
And I just can't help but to, like, my brain keeps going back to Thor just being a part of whatever is going on with these dogs.
It is.
Because it's almost hand in hand. And it that might also be because, for me and my knowledge, Thor is the closest connection I have to, like, thunderstorms and stuff like that. Lightning storms.
And the legitimate lore has traveled through the time to where now this is kind of linking up with itself.
Right.
It's strange. Next is the Black Dog of Lyme Regis. Near that town in Dorset stood a farmhouse that was supposedly haunted by a black dog. The dog never caused any harm to anyone, but one night the master of the house, in a rage, tried to attack the dog with an iron poker. The dog fled to the attic, where it leaped through the ceiling, and when the master struck the spot where the dog had vanished, he discovered a hidden cache of gold and silver.
What the fuck?
That's what's up.
That's pretty awesome.
The dog's never seen again indoors, but to this day it continues to haunt.
Hey, but holds true to some old lore right there. The iron utensil going after spiritual entities.
Yes. Interesting. The dog was never seen indoors, but is said to haunt the lane leading to the house. Dogs are allowed.
Straight up got that out of the house for good.
Yeah, and he got paid.
That's also true.
Dogs who are allowed to stay in the area at night often mysteriously disappear. A bed and breakfast in town called the Old Black Dog, and part of the legend states that the man who discovered the treasure used it to build the inn that originally stood on the site of the Old Black Dog.
That's some awesome lore right there.
I love it. I've been on an England kick sometimes.
When you said that there's an old inn or whatever called, what was it called? The Old Black Dog?
Yeah, the Old Black Dog.
That's so cool.
There's a bunch of
them. It would
of
make
them.
Me want to stop and check it out.
Yeah. It's funny that the lore runs so deep throughout all the counties and communities that there's multiple Black Dog inns throughout That's Europe, awesome. from what I found. Like, I don't live there. I've never been there, but
I'm gonna open the Black Dog Diner.
Should. And just
food's cooler than sleeping.
Just serve charred hot dogs.
Hell yeah. My wife would be the only one to show up.
So the Black Dog of Newgate is said to haunt the Newgate prison for over 400 years, often appearing before executions. According to legend, 1596, a scholar was sent to prison for witchcraft, but was killed and eaten alive. Well, I guess if you're killed, you're not eaten alive. Was killed and eaten by starving prisoners before his trial was given.
Whoa.
The dog is said to appear soon after, and although the terrified men killed the guards and escaped from the dog, the beast is said to have hunted them down and killed them one by one.
I like that. That's like a whole, like, tormented spirit making a deal for vengeance, you know, like, yeah like that's a that makes also, sense
maybe
that
the scholar was into witchcraft.
That's true too,
and this thing came back for it.
It's true. I like it though.
It also goes under the name of Grimm, or the Fairy Grimm, which is a name of a shape-shifting fairy that sometimes also took the form of a black dog in a 17th century pamphlet called Mad Pranks and Merry Jests, which is odd also.
Very.
The Black Dog of Northrop. In this village, the churchyard was said to be haunted by a bar guest. Some black dogs are said to be human beings with the power of shape-shifting. In another nearby village, there lived an old man who was reported to be a wizard. It was claimed that he would transform into a black dog and attack his neighbor's cattle. It's uncertain if there was any connection between what was thought as the Barghast and the wizard, but it is weird that they had two black dogs running around at the same time with different backstories here.
Also, 100% something a petty old man would do.
Oh, yeah, especially a wizard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're pissed at your neighbor, you're like, I'm just going to go fuck with his cows.
Yeah, I'm going to turn into a dog.
And I'm going to fuck with his cows.
And I'm going to run around like a dick.
I mean, I could 100% get behind it.
Next, we have the Black Dog of Preston. It's said to be the guardian of the city gates, appearing when there's any dangers that threatens the town. So we got an OG good one here. It is said to be headless, but can still howl nevertheless.
Whoa.
Its howl meant death was on its way, so it was kind of good warning there. But it said if it laid down at the doorsteps of your house, then death was coming for somebody inside that house. So that's not a good thing. But it was still kind of like a precursor, sort of a like harbinger.
It kind of makes sense because it's like I don't know what the word would be for it, but it's like the opposite of a vengeful spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it was pissed that it died the way that it did, but instead of being a dick about it, it's going to try to protect people
just gonna be
from
OG.
The same fate.
Yeah. The Black Dog of Tring. In the parish of Tring, there was a chimney sweep named Thomas Colley, who was executed by hanging in 1751 for the drowning murder of one Ruth Osborne, whom he accused of being a witch. Colley's spirit now haunts the site in the form of a black dog. The clanking of his chains can also be heard, which is not like the, and now the chains are becoming like a trope.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah.
In one tale, a pair of men who encountered this beast saw a burst of flame before it manifested in front of them.
Now that's a hellhound.
It also had large burning eyes and long sharp teeth. It did not attack them, but it disappeared not long after, vanishing like a shadow sinking into the earth.
That's a hellhound.
Back to hell.
I can get behind that, and I can get behind like why it happened. That was the same one from. Was that the same one from the dude that drowned the chick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense because he just used that as an excuse.
Yeah, to be a dick.
And you know what? She might have actually been a witch. You know,
I hope she
to
was.
To the point earlier, and she's like, all right, well, I'm
going
to get.
She said, now spend your life as a dog,
yeah.
Douche.
Yeah, I mean, I can get behind that thought process.
Next, we have the Black Shook.
I kind of like this. I like being able to come up with excuses as to why the black dog manifests in these cases.
Yeah, I love like that each of them have their own lore that are different, tied to specific geographical locations, but they often run together, tied together. It's almost more of a lesson in folklore and superstition as it is to add an actual physical entity stalking the land. The Black Shook is regarded as a malevolent creature. There's stories ranging from it just frightening people to it killing them outright to it being like a figure of death itself. Whenever it's like almost like a harbinger,
yeah.
But as it shows up to you, you know you or someone close to you are not going to make it.
So it's kind of like the Reaper as a pet dog.
Yeah. Or turns itself into a dog like the wizard.
That's true.
This is also the one that is said to attack the church and kill the two people from earlier.
Interesting.
There are roads known as Shuck Lane that's named after like this urban legend because it's seen so often. I mean, is it really an urban legend? I don't know. But they said the following day when it showed up again and attacked the next church, there's a little bit more information. It killed three more people there, and apparently there are still claw marks on the remnants of the church that you can see today.
That's awesome.
That is dope. I need to look into the source material there and see if I can find pictures.
That is awesome.
Of the claw marks. Because,
like, that's being dedicated to the preservation of that. So which would make you think, outside it being like a big superstitious story, that almost, you know, outside of that, it gives it credence to being a powerful supernatural moment that people preserved.
Yes. Something weird happened.
Absolutely.
Like this Shucks Lane that's named after the appearance of these dogs, they said that there are reports that at the spot where this thing manifests itself, you can find scorch marks the day after and the smell of brimstone, which again ties it directly to hell.
Yep.
There's one called the Bodu. The Bodu usually foretells death to the person who sees it or someone close to them. The Capelwaith. This is seen in different parts of Yorkshire. Could take the form of any quadruped, but usually appeared as a large black dog. He took his name from the barn in which it lived, Capelwaith Barn. He performed helpful services to the people, such as rounding up their sheep and other animals. But toward any outsiders, he was very spiteful and mischievous, until one day he was banished by the church vicar. As both a helper and a trickster, it's said that this specific entity might have been more like a trickster-esque entity, like a hobgoblin or something, that took on the form of this dog, as opposed to the dog being an entity itself. Which I thought was weird that it was cool to the townspeople, but then was not cool to anybody else.
Right.
But then as soon as the town people's like, hey, you got to get out of here, he's like, well, F you. Next, we have the Church Grim, which was talked about at the Van Meter Fest. The Church Grim guards local Christian churches and is attached to the churchyard for those whom would do nefarious things, grave robbers, vandals, stuff like that. For this purpose, it was custom to bury a dog alive under the cornerstone of the church as a foundation sacrifice. Sometimes the grim will toll the bells at midnight before a death occurs. At funerals, the presiding clergyman may see the dog looking out from the church tower and determine from its aspect whether the soul of the departed was bound for heaven or for hell. Another tradition states that when a new churchyard is open, the first man buried there had to guard it against the devil. To save a human soul, the duty was passed on to the black dog that was buried in the north part of the churchyard as a substitute.
That's what I remember from...
Isn't that so wild?
From the presentation.
It's so wild.
It is.
The Gabriel Hounds. Gabriel Hounds are dogs with human heads that fly high through the air. They're often heard, but seldom seen. They sometimes hover over a house, and this is taken as a sign of death or misfortune will befall those who live within it. They're also known as the Gabriel Ratchets, Ratchet being a hound that hunts by scent. Popular conceptions of the Gabriel Hounds may have been partially based on migrating flocks of wild geese when they fly at night, making large honking sounds. In other traditions, their leader Gabriel is condemned to follow his hounds at night for the sins of having hunted on a Sunday. Their yelping cry is regarded as a death omen, similar to birds of folklore known as the Seven Whistlers. Guardian black dogs. Guardian black dogs refer to those relatively rare black dogs that are neither omens of death nor cause it. Instead, they are guides to lost travelers, protecting them from danger. Story of this type can be more widespread throughout the early 1900s. In different versions, one popular tale, a man was journeying alongside a lonely forest at night when a large black dog appeared at his side and remained there until the man left the forest. On his return journey through the woods, the dog reappeared and did the same as before. Years later, two convicted prisoners told the chaplain that they have robbed and murdered the wayfarer in the forest that night, but they were intimidated by the presence of a large black dog.
That's crazy.
So he's there to help.
At least he's a good one. He's not like some of these other ones. And it's weird too. I caught a couple of them that you were describing that almost had this shapeshifter vibe to it.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the ranch story where the first creature he saw on the property was mm-hmm. a large wolf and shot it. It didn't do shit to it.
Yep.
But it has that subtle connection. And it's just, it's pretty crazy that it comes, you know, that's across the ocean there. And they're very similar in nature and description.
Makes you wonder what these entities really are.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick a couple more out here. We have Padfoot, which is in Wakefield. It is a death omen, like a lot of the others. It may become visible or invisible and exhibits certain characteristics that give it its name. It's known to follow people with light padding sound of its paws, then appearing again in front of them or behind them or at their side. It can utter a roar unlike the voice of any known animal. Sometimes the trailing of a chain can also be heard again. It's said it's best to leave this creature alone. If a person tries to speak or attacks it, it will then have power over them. One story tells of a man who tried to kick Padfoot and found himself dragged through the hedge and ditch all the way to his home by the chain connected around the animal's neck. The animal left him at his window. Usually described as black, another tale concerns a man who encountered a white Padfoot. He attempted to strike it with a stick, but it passed completely through the creature, and he ran home in fear. Soon afterward, he fell sick and died. So do not hit these with sticks or milk buckets.
It's like piss poor logic when fighting a large animal.
The Skriker and Trash. This is from Lancaster in Yorkshire. Is a death omen like many others of its type, but also wanders invisibly through the woods at night, uttering loud, piercing shrieks. It may also take a visible form of a large black dog with enormous paws that make a splashing sound when walking, like old shoes walking in mud. The Skriker is also known as Trash. It's derived from a word. Skriker is derived from a word, speech. And there are other sightings of these creatures outside of Britain, of these hellhounds. Again, I already talked about the earliest known sighting, which is in France. There are other ones in, like, according to Catholic legend, a black dog attempted to steal the Italian mystic Benedetta Carlini when she was a child in the 17th century, but her screams frightened the dog away. By the time the mother had arrived, the dog had disappeared. Benedetta and her parents interpreted this incident as a work of the devil disguised as an animal. In Latin America, black dogs with fiery eyes are reported throughout Latin America, Mexico to Argentina, under a variety of names: Perro Negro, the Nahul, the Huayshivo. They are said to usually be incantations of the devil or shape-shifting entities or sorcerers. In North America, black dog folklore likely spread to America with the colonialization of America from Europe. There's a legend of a small black dog that persisted in Meridian, Connecticut since the 19th century. The dog is said to haunt the Hanging Hills, a series of rock ridges and gorges that is a popular recreation area. It is described as a death omen. It is said, quote, "If you meet the black dog once, it shall be a joy. If you meet it twice, it shall be for sorrow. If you meet it a third time, it shall be for death."
I've heard that before.
Really?
Yeah, I have. It might have been at the Van Meter, but I know that I've heard that before.
It's weird that this one is a small dog as well.
Yeah.
Another New England black dog tale comes from southeastern Massachusetts, also in the area known as the Bridgewater Triangle. In the mid-70s, the town of Abington was reportedly terrorized by a large black dog that caused a panic. A local fireman saw it attacking horses. Local police unsuccessfully searched for it, and at first they didn't see the black dog, but eventually a police officer spotted it walking along the train tracks and shot at it. Just as you had just talked about, the bullets had no effect on the animal, and it just walked off, never to be seen again. Which, the Bridgewater Triangle is a haven for weird paranormal entities. The Skinwalker Ranch, again, a haven for weird paranormal entities. Right. Now we go to the South Jersey Pine Barrens. Again, a haven for weird paranormal entities. There's a local legend told by residents describing a ghostly black dog that is said to roam the beaches and pine forests of the area, roughly from Absecon Island to Barnegat Bay. Unlike most British or Germanic black dog legends, this black dog is considered harmless or a benevolent spirit. According to folklore, pilots on the island attacked a ship and killed its crew. Among those killed were a cabin boy and his black dog. The spirit of this black dog supposedly roams the beaches and the pines searching for its owner.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yes.
But it seems like, in general, consensus, most of them are assholes and you should avoid them at all costs.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like there's very many, like, visual cues on which are which.
Which are good or which aren't.
Yeah.
No.
Like, you can only tell mostly by, like, their actions and whatnot. But even, there one was even, like, saying, don't even acknowledge its existence. Just basically look away and leave.
You will die.
Yeah. So.
You will fucking die.
Definitely don't beat it with a bucket.
Or a stick.
Or a stick.
Next, we go to Delaware. Comes the myth of the fence rail dog, said to be a ghost dog that's as tall as a fence and races cars along Route 12, but it is wholly harmless.
I mean, it sounds like a dog.
Yeah, a giant one at that. South Carolina dwells another frequent spotting of a giant black dog haunting travelers. The ghost town of Gosham Hill is said to aggressively prowl Old Buncombe Road in Sumter National Forest. Legend claims his master had been unjustly killed for a crime. Long haul trucker lore. Seeing a black dog with red eyes in your peripheral vision is a sign of a fatal crash being imminent and that you should pull off immediately. Some think the dog is the eyes beginning to subconsciously close, causing the black spot in the corner of the eye. I'm going to wrap that up right here. Again, this Wikipedia is full of information. I've got we could do a whole nother episode on just sightings of these things.
I would like to hear some encounters.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. There are some weird ones. I saw some that tied it to fey lore, where these dogs were actual fey creatures, which I touched on a little bit, but I didn't really go into. But these are not black dogs. They are said to be green or white with red or green ears, which is bizarre. Maybe I'll put together one of these encounters. I just kind of wanted to touch on the folklore and the geographical locations of how prevalent these entities are.
They're definitely rooted in history.
Yes. And again, it's weird that, like, once the big cat sightings started showing up around the 60s and 70s, it's like the black dog sightings kind of started to taper off.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Either it's the same entity that people have been misidentifying, or, again, like you had stated, there's almost like factions of these creatures that kind of move and drive people out. But I know that they did DNA tests on one of the alleged big cats, and it is a legitimate, like, panther or some leopard or some shit. I can't remember. Like, it came back. It's a legitimate creature.
It's crazy.
But, yeah, I just want to touch on that a little bit. Might veer back around and talk about some of the encounters. But until then, thanks for hanging out with us. Hope this gets your week started off right. Check us out at all our social medias: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Come hang out, be part of the Holocult. And until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and if you see a black dog, do not hit it with your milk bucket.
Hey, Sal.
Hank?
What's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.